Chicago Bears fans have spent all season pointing to the Philadelphia Eagles as an example for what the Bears should try and do next year and beyond. So now that Jalen Hurts is headed to the Super Bowl, let's take a closer look at how this Eagles team was put together and how the Chicago Bears can try and do their own version of such a quick turnaround.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. Today's episode is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. On the show today, we look at how the Eagles were built and how that roster was constructed around Jalen Hurts to then look at then what the Chicago Bears can do. How do we apply that to the Bears? Not that the Eagles' way is the only way to do it or that the Bears should copy absolutely everything the Philadelphia Eagles did, but it is a blueprint. It is a direction. It is one way of success of doing it that I think we can draw a lot of parallels to Chicago and find that that type of path is not so out of reach from what the Chicago Bears are on right now. Quick programming note for you. This week, we will be in Mobile, Alabama, down at the Senior Bowl. We'll still have podcasts for you every single day of the week, but the background's going to change a little bit. The microphone will change a little bit, and we'll have some in-person guests as well as some interviews with players and perhaps some Luke Getsy video and audio as well for you from down there. So that's going to be exciting this week. We'll be turning our attention a little more to the NFL draft and some of those prospects that the Bears are getting firsthand in person. Part of that process is how the Eagles have built their teams by identifying players both at the Senior Bowl and outside of it that are strong fits for them in the NFL draft and having success in that way. And it really, to me, is a largely homegrown offense in Philadelphia. You look at that offensive line across the board, all 5 starters are draft picks. Plus, they just drafted Cam Jurgens in the second round this past year, and he's kind of their 6th man off the bench and not starting at this stage. They also have Andre Dillard coming off the bench. Like 2 or 3 of their top backup offensive linemen are also draft picks. But it's like across the board. Left tackle was a 7th round pick. Left guard was a 2nd round pick. Center was a 6th round pick. Right guard was a 3rd round pick. Right tackle was a 1st round pick. There's a lot of high draft investment, and also getting lucky with some late-round draft investment, panning out really, really well and getting them high-quality starters. They have a very, very good offensive line and have clearly made that a high priority in the NFL draft. 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, a 3rd, a 4th, a 6th, and a 7th are all their draft picks forming their offensive line starters and their backups. It's something that we've seen Ryan Poles already start to add some draft picks on the offensive line. Took 4 of them last year, but they were all later rounds. And it'll be interesting to see over the years if he can trend toward more of an early round focus there, the way that the Eagles have had some significant investment at that spot. You look at wide receiver. You saw 2 years ago, they used the 1st round pick on Devonta Smith, who's been great for them. We saw him have a really big game against the Chicago Bears earlier this season. And then they used another 1st round pick to trade for A.J. Brown, one of the best young wide receivers in football. Beyond that, you know, they had a few different, like a guy like Quez Watkins was a 6th round pick of theirs, but it's kind of just been patchwork beyond that. But they clearly made it a priority to get like 2 really good wide receivers and worry a bit less about wide receiver 3, 4, and 5 being great. You know, this is not what I would call a deep Eagles wide receiver room overall. I mean, they got some talent there, but just it's top heavy in that regard. And this is where I again sort of say, it's not that the Eagles method is perfect, because if the Eagles lose A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith to injury, all of a sudden, you know, that wide receiving core starts to look a little bit more thin. But part of the balance there, too, is that they have a guy like Dallas Goedert at tight end who, you know, is one of those guys that's he's not the dynamic freak athlete, but he is a good athlete at tight end. You know, like I think of him as more athletic than Cole Kmet, but like not as athletic as like the top end athletes at tight end. He's kind of in that second tier up there. So he's a security blanket plus. Like he's a guy who can make some plays after the catch, but is not going to outrun a whole defense down the side of the field. And he can be that kind of go-to check down option for a guy like Jalen Hurts, or you can put him out in the slot and he can be a playmaker just like some of your other wide receivers. You know, he's really wide receiver three in that offense after A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Then you've got, you know, of course, the backfield of Miles Sanders as kind of the lead guy. But we saw in both the championship game and last week before in the divisional round, their backup running back, Kenneth Gainwell, play some bigger roles. You know, he's been more their passing down back anyway, more their pass protector and receiver than Miles Sanders. But he got some real carries there. But clearly at that position, that's not a team that has ever spent big money at running back just yet. They've often kind of rotated through guys. And, you know, like Jordan Howard was there at one point. They've long had a committee that we've seen now Miles Sanders take the lead dog role and be that sort of number one type back, the lead back in that offense. But it's not something that like is going to be, you know, it wasn't like a huge priority for them to invest like a ton of long-term investment in that because he's about to be a free agent. And that's when we're going to see how much they really value running backs and Miles Sanders. But for now, it's been rookies and kind of journeymen rotating in that group and has not been as high of a priority at that position compared to all the draft picks they actually used on the offensive line and the draft capital they both used and traded to bolster wide receiver. Oh, and that tight end is also a second round pick as well. So a lot of NFL draft investment in this offense panning out for them. It's a stark contrast with the Eagles draft investment in offense to what we see they have done on defense. For that group that feels like much more of a group of a lot of mercenaries. Of course, there are draft picks in there, and that's a big theme of why the Eagles have been successful, but it's also a lot of guys that they've kind of pulled from a lot of different places and pieced together to form a defense that's pretty darn mean and nasty. We'll learn more about how the Eagles assemble this defense and where we can apply this idea on both sides of the ball to the Chicago Bears next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the better way to do daily fantasy sports because Prize Picks puts you in complete control. You pick 2 to 5 or 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. It's you versus the projections available, and whether you win or lose doesn't depend on what someone else's lineup is. You're not competing against them. It's you versus the house. They've got a bunch of great opportunities to play with the big game coming up in 2 weeks now. And of course, across the entire sports landscape, professional and college, it's super easy to play too. You can make your entries in literally 60 seconds or less. Just download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with our promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Just don't forget to enter that promo code LOCKEDON at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100. I'm kind of fascinated by the contrast between the Eagles offense and the Eagles defense. When you think about team building approaches and how the Bears might want to go about building those two sides of the ball. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying the way the Eagles have done it is the uniform best way and do everything that they did, repeat it exactly, no mistakes, no flaws, no nothing. But it is a successful method that they have done here, and it's a position that Bears fans have kind of envied and want to see the Bears take a similar approach. And that's why I really want to go in depth on this right now, because it's much more of a mercenary defense. And the defense is intriguing to me because their defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, was Matt Eberflus's defensive backs coach in Indianapolis. You know, he left for the Eagles job to join Sirianni a year before Eberflus then left Indianapolis to come to Chicago. But there's an alternate reality there where Jonathan Gannon is even on the Bears staff and is the Bears defensive coordinator instead of Alan Williams. You know, Sirianni hadn't gotten hired. So, you know, there's some similarities there in terms of what they can do schematically, and maybe, you know, him coming from that hits principal in Indianapolis. Like, not that he's applying it one to one there, but that, you know, he's from that tree and he's from that mindset. And so I can't help but wonder if the coaches will think similarly in some forms of the team building process. You look at the Eagles defense, and there has been a lot of guys brought in via free agency and trade, with one position group in particular that seems to be a little bit more of the exception. But you look across the board, they signed Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh in free agency. Javon Hargrave came over from the Steelers. Hassan Reddick, the pass rusher slash linebacker, came over from the Cardinals, I believe was his last name. Kevin White's brother, Kaiser White, they brought in a linebacker. Or does he play safety? He's kind of one of those hybrid types. But he's playing linebacker for them. James Bradbury, they signed at cornerback this offseason. They traded for Darius Slay from the Detroit Lions. They traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson from the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, during the season, they traded for Robert Quinn from the Chicago Bears, put him out on injured reserve, has now taken him back off of injured reserve and is in the process here for getting up for the big game. And so that's some big name talent and a number of starters or at worst, like key rotational guys. Like, I guess as I glance at guys that are starters, I guess Sue's not really a starter, but Joseph, Hargrave, Reddick, White, Slay, Gardner Johnson, James Bradbury. Those are seven. I count out of my fingers as I've been doing this year, seven starters brought in via free agency or trade on this defense. Plus, you know, Sue is a big-time rotational player in there as well that isn't exactly a starter, but we all know Ndamukong Suh as more of a household name defensively, even if he's not the same guy that he was early in his career, the dominant level number two overall pick guys. He's on the tail end, but that's been their idea, right, is that they can bring in some of these older veterans like Joseph, like Suh, that can rotate in, or guys like Darius Slay. Like, you don't need these guys to be in their prime, and you don't need them to be great for five more years. You just need them to be good and helpful right now for them to maximize this Super Bowl window at this moment. And maybe it's, you know, 1 or 2 years of what you can get from guys like Slay or Suh or Joseph, but they have some flexibility in that they're not locked into them on these five-year contracts either. The exception where the defensive line, Freudian slip where I was going next, the exception is the defensive line of where the team building process has been a little bit different. That yes, Suh and Linval Joseph and now Robert Quinn are all external additions, but they were just adding to a defensive line that was already heavily invested in with draft picks. You know, you've got, I mean, way back, Brandon Graham was a first-round pick in 2010, one of their edge rushers. They used a first-round pick on Fletcher Cox in 2012. So they've had kind of their premier edge rusher and interior pass rusher guys were both first-round picks 2 years apart that have both been on the team for a decade plus now, both of them. Clearly, like, foundational pieces of that defensive line. Plus, this past year, they drafted Jordan Davis in the first round, the big nose tackle out of Georgia. A couple years ago, they drafted the pass rusher Josh Sweat in the fourth round, and he's been really exceptional for them, kind of in that rotation, also kind of as a starter. And they have a backup, Milton Williams, on the edge, who was a third-round pick from them a couple of years ago as well. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 draft picks there, all in the fourth round or earlier, and even their fourth-round pick has been a major contributor for them. So, like, there is both a significant draft pick investment on the defensive line and a significant free agent investment in Hargraves and Joseph and Suh and Robert Quinn via trade. So the Eagles have clearly kind of said defensive line is where the important investment has been for them. You know, both the draft picks and the trade and adding as much as they can at that position. And, you know, linebacker and defensive back seems to be where they say, you know what, we can find those guys in free agency, in the trade market, and we don't necessarily need to invest early draft capital at those spots. Like, they used a third-round pick on a linebacker, N'Kobe Dean, this past season, and then they've drafted guys over the years, right? But as the way that this team is currently built, it's a cornerback you signed in free agency with a cornerback you traded for, with a safety you traded for, and I think the other safety, Marcus Epps, was brought in as a free agent a couple of years ago. Is not a fresh new free agent. And then they got their nickel cornerback, Avante Maddox, was their own fourth round pick. They do invest some draft capital at these positions, but it's like one of their linebackers, undrafted free agent TJ Edwards, who's very good, but wasn't like an early draft investment for them. Or Kaiser White as a free agent, Hassan Reddick as a free agent. Like, it's, they're willing to kind of say, yeah, we don't need to home grow the back seven of this defense. The investment is in the defensive line and that pass rush, and we can find good enough pieces on the back end that will want to just come play for the Eagles because we're good and because we're in these Super Bowl conversations with this team. I think you can start to see where you start to apply some of this stuff to the Chicago Bears and say, okay, well, where have the Bears started to invest some draft capital in some of these guys? Where have the Bears, you know, prioritized a little bit more of their free agent dollars? And where do they have the opportunity to do more of that this offseason? We'll kind of go through what opportunity is in front of Ryan Poles to follow some of the things, if not all of the things, that the Philadelphia Eagles have done to get themselves to the Super Bowl with a quarterback that has some Justin Fields comparisons in terms of athletic ability and also the taking that step once you put those players around him. Next on Locked On Bears. Coming up for your Super Bowl party in just a couple of weeks now, the only app you're going to need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about having FanDuel as our official sports betting partner here on the Locked On Podcast Network because they are the number one sportsbook in the country. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better because they have so many great ways to make betting on sports fun and easy, especially for the Super Bowl. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $300 or $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads and who will score a touchdown, especially in the Super Bowl. Those kind of props make it that much more fun to tune in for Super Bowl Sunday. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you can get your winnings paid back to you instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. So let's be explicit here about applying what the Philadelphia Eagles have done to build their team to where the Chicago Bears are now, what they have, and what they still need. You look like on this Bears offensive line, they certainly have not invested the early draft picks to the same level that the Eagles have, but you have Tevin Jenkins as a second-round pick and Cody Whitehair as a second-round pick, two homegrown talents that, in theory, can bolster and bookend your two guard positions. I don't think you need to worry about moving either one of them in an ideal world out of those spots. You feel pretty solid there. You've got Braxton Jones as the fifth-round pick who was not amazing this season, but was pretty good for a fifth-round pick, and you can do better than that, but you feel like there's something to develop there and that he's improving and got better and has some potential to be a long-term starter at left tackle. And then, you know, of course, they used draft picks on Larry Borum in the late rounds, Doug Kramer, Jahtir Carter, the two other guys that they drafted and put on injured reserve this year. But it feels like there is room to invest more in the offensive line earlier in the draft. You're not going to see it in the first round this year unless they trade really far down from the number one pick, which doesn't seem as likely as the current situation, but perhaps in the second round with that Ravens pick, or if they trade down a little bit and add some extra draft picks, you know, could you see a second or a third round pick used at center to add some competition there, or maybe at right tackle? Obviously, free agency may shape some of those decisions, and it's not to say that the Eagles' method of only drafting players on the offensive line and not signing free agents there is the best way to do it. You could easily go out and sign like Mike McGlinchey at right tackle and feel like a great signing and someone who can solidify that position. It doesn't need to be all draft picks, but it does seem to be a good idea to invest heavily in young homegrown players there to have as good and consistent as an offensive line as what the Philadelphia Eagles have. I also think the wide receiver building process there is interesting. The Bears are not in a position to draft one with the first round pick like the Eagles did. Could they be in a position to trade for one like the Eagles did? Well, that's something I want to get into on a whole podcast pretty soon here this offseason after the Senior Bowl. I want to go through all the different wide receiver trade options because we hear names speculated out there. DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, Jerry Jeudy, T. Higgins, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of dive into the pros and cons of each one and what it might look for, what it might cost for a team like the Bears to trade for. It's not going to cost the number one overall pick, but maybe if one's involved in a trade up or a trade down, or it's a second round pick or a future draft pick, or you use the extra draft capital that you get from trading down from the number one pick to then flip that into one of these wide receivers when the free agent class isn't particularly strong, you could still draft one in the second round if you want to, but clearly the Eagles kind of went super big in that regard. And the Bears are sitting there with Mooney and Claypool, and you know, I think they're going to end up being a little bit more depth a little bit more quantity than quality at wide receiver. Not for that to be shots at Mooney or Claypool, but neither Mooney nor Claypool is AJ Brown or Devonta Smith. So they already have stuff at wide receiver that I think they're going to be deeper there than the Eagles, and maybe not as top heavy, and not going to apply the exact same formula of team building process there. I wonder what that looks like at running back, where the Eagles have just not invested in that at all in terms of big contracts. They just kind of will keep rotating draft picks and journeyman free agent types in that group. Whereas Luke Getsy, you know, in Green Bay paid Aaron Jones and really wanted the Jones-Dillon duo to be a big emphasis in that offense, but it's not as big of an emphasis in the Eagles offense. It was really the two wide receivers and the tight end. Of course, the running game with Hurts and Sanders, but it's not as, from a team building roster construction standpoint, has not been nearly the investment at that position as the others. Whereas Getsy in Green Bay was much more inclined to pay Aaron Jones. Not that he had sole discretion over that, but was in a team that paid the running back that they liked quite a bit on offense. So I think offense is the one that has more propensity to be more different than the Eagles. Whereas with Gannon coming from the Eberflus tree and just where the Bears sit right now defensively, that feels like it's more in line to be more like what the Eagles do, because the Bears have a ton of cap space and they have to spend it somewhere. And they're just like, there isn't the opportunity to spend it as much on offense. There's not that big number one wide receiver to go pay. And you know, maybe you pay a big offensive lineman or something, but like, there's not like five, like compared to the defense, right? Where on the Bears defense, you could sign an edge rusher, you could sign a defensive tackle, you could sign a linebacker. You're good at safety and you probably don't need a big name cornerback with Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon, but there's spots where you can get two or three or four big contracts on defense in a similar way to where the Eagles have said, yes, free agency is the area we're more willing to do defensively, except for the defensive line where they do free agency trade and the draft. And it just so happens with where the Bears are drafting this year and where the draft class lands, that it's likely going to be a defensive lineman the Bears take with their first round pick, either Will Anderson Jr., the edge rusher, or Jalen Carter, the Georgia defensive tackle. And like, that can be their Brandon Graham, their Fletcher Cox type in that defensive line to say, yep, he's our 5 to 10 to 15 year foundation of this defensive line landmark, like the one that everything is built around, and that is sort of the joining guiding force to lead that group. And you add, you know, a free agent like Marcus Davenport or whoever on the edge there, or defensive tackle like Daron Payne or Javon Hargrave of the Eagles is going to be a free agent. But there's some other different options there. Larry Ogunjobi is a free agent again, and I wonder if Ryan Poles will be as interested this year as he was last year. So, you know, throw some free agent money at those spots. It can be a little bit more of a mercenary defense, although the big difference being like the Eagles were much more keen on really trying to capitalize on the championship window in 2022 specifically. You know, not that it was like it's this year or bust, but like, you trade for Robert Quinn at the deadline and they went a bit older with some of those acquisitions on the defensive line and some of the, you know, Sue and Linval Joseph, and now, you know, already Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are on the older side too. They were more willing to invest in older players to really try and win this season. Whereas I think the Bears, while they are going to try and win a lot more this season, I think they can recognize that it's not Super Bowl or bust in 2023 just yet. That when you're signing these free agents, you're not just signing the best guy, regardless of age, to win this year, as many games as you can this year. But you're thinking about these free agent guys as 2 to 3 to 4 year guys, right? You're not signing the 33-year-old who's at the end of his career to a big contract in Chicago just to try and win this upcoming season. Whereas the Eagles were more inclined to, you know, trade for Robert Quinn and all those things that we were just talking about. Like, they were more inclined to make deals for older players, understanding that their window feels a little bit smaller and they're trying to really hit it now before the Jalen Hurts contract comes up and all that stuff. The Bears, their free agent signings are going to probably be on the younger side. You know, you get Daron Payne to that 5-year deal because he's 26 and he can be a longer term piece of your defensive line there, as opposed to like signing the 31-year-old who's still going to be good for a year or two, but isn't going to be good 4 years from now, or won't be as good 4 years from now. So it's not a 1-to-1. And I've been trying to make that as clear as I can throughout this podcast. But I think it's kind of nice to see, like, okay, there is a strategy here, and you can see where what they invested in and made the time to invest in, made a priority in their team building process, has panned out to be the clear strengths of their team. The other kind of elephant in the room here is like the way to be successful like the Eagles is just to draft really well. Like, all those draft picks we talked about, not all the draft picks that a team makes will pan out, but the Eagles got a lot of those draft picks to pan out. And it's that's kind of the secret here, right? It's not so much like you're only going to be good if you invest in the same place that the Eagles have, but it's you hit on all those first and second and third round picks, right? Regardless of where you're drafting them, if you're hitting that many draft picks, all being as good as so many of them have been for the Eagles, your team is going to be really good regardless. And it's not as much about, okay, make sure you use all your picks on the offensive and defensive lines and use the free agency elsewhere. Like, use the picks wherever you can as long as the players are as good as what Howie Roseman has been able to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's kind of the big secret here. Now, a lot of the really successful teams that you see in the NFL, that's the formula. The formula is be really good at the draft and build a team that's homegrown and that has cost-controlled players in that way, guys that you know through and through and are going to be your guys. And that's the monumental task for Ryan Poles. I still think it's valuable to get this perspective on where they draft versus sign, and that, you know, maybe you feel like you're more likely to hit on draft picks on the offensive and defensive line, and that you get better value out of draft picks at those positions, and you get better value signing free agents at linebacker and cornerback, where maybe you can get better players at lower cost that if you get the right scheme fit for them, as opposed to, like, you know, offensive linemen are just going to get paid market value for being a good offensive line regardless of scheme, you know, or wide receivers too. So I think there's some team building perspective there that's worth keeping in mind, but also keep in mind that just draft good players and the rest can work itself out a little bit more easily. We're going to get a better sense of what good players will be available for the Chicago Bears in the draft all week long, as I'll be physically down in Mobile, Alabama, bringing you the Lockdown Bears podcast still 5 days a week from the Senior Bowl. So make sure you hit that subscribe button to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Make sure you check out the Lockdown Bears YouTube channel, because we'll be getting interviews with some of these players on the field. We'll talk to Luke Getsy at some point while we're down there. And I'm going to try my best to get as good of a video and audio as I can of a lot of those interviews and press conference situations. And I'll post those clips on the Lockdown Bears YouTube channel if you want to get really the full sense of what they're saying, how they're saying it, and kind of get to know these players and coaches a little bit better as well. Thanks for making Lockdown Bears your first listen today. If you want even more Senior Bowl coverage, don't forget to check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, where we'll be going live from the Senior Bowl Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'm not sure on the exact details. I will definitely not be on the Thursday live, but I'm planning to be live on the NFL Draft channel with them Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm flying back in the afternoon Thursday and won't be there for the Thursday night live stream, but hoping to be a part of that Tuesday and Wednesday stream as well, like we did last year. So go check out Locked On NFL Draft on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts for more of that coverage. And keep coming back to Locked On Bears for your next opportunity to bear down.